We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
What if I told you hindsight is always 20/20?
The Minnesota Timberwolves select Stephen Curry.
That everything happens for a reason.
With the first selection in the 2005 NFL draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Aaron Rodgers, quarterback in California.
What if I told you it's time for What If Wednesday on the Damon Bruce Show?
Oh, what if I told you I was interested in that happening? Let's do this. We got a few hypotheticals. What might have happened had something else fallen a different way back in the day, happening right now? Elena, hello. Always good to see you. What do you got for us today?
What if the Sharks would have won the cup when they skated for Lord Stanley back in 2016?
Oh, man. What if the San Jose Sharks had won a Stanley Cup? What the ripple effect would have been? Would they have enjoyed the exact same amount of adulation as the Giants, as the Warriors? I don't think so, because
no.
It's hockey. Right, but the amount of people who are attracted to trophies, I think, brings more people into the room. They're enjoying better ratings to this day still. They're enjoying a bigger bounce in terms of when you listen to sports talk radio, did you hear a Shark segment today? If they had won a Stanley Cup a few years ago, yeah, you probably do. You probably get more involved in the daily conversation had you been a champ. They came close, not good enough. How dramatically would it have changed things?
I think they probably would have sold out more than the 70 times they've sold out in the last three years. I think there would be a bit more conversation, but let's be honest, the Warriors have crowded everybody else out because they are an ongoing national story every day. There's no escaping that, and they play during the time that the Sharks play. I mean, the Giants have sort of vacated their spot for now. The A's, even though they won 97 games, they haven't proved it yet. And the two football teams have been dreadful. But the Warriors do blot out the sun, and they blot out the sun basically wherever big cities exist, because the NBA's in most of those cities. They would be a bigger story in Canada than they are. But other than that, I don't know how they would have been dramatically different outside their own little world. Within their world, they could say, it's off our back. Look what we just did. And for their fans and some casual fans, that'd be great.
Would they still be playing at SAP? Would there be a new building underway?
No.
Would there be a reinvestment in the infrastructure of the franchise? Because championships, banners do equal new buildings.
Not all the time. I mean, Hasso Plattner, who owns a team and is the 92nd richest man on the planet, has a very light footprint on this. And he's never come out and said, I demand a new building. And until he does that, it doesn't matter.
Well, the building's awesome. It's a great place to watch a hockey game. It really is.
Okay, but is it generating all the money that they think it can? That I don't know. All I know is the Sharks have never made a big deal out of it. And as long as you're, not going to ask the city to pony up $500 million, the city's not going to pony up $500 million. I mean, the Sharks have never shown this great urgency. Build us something or we'll leave.
I'm not suggesting there's any sort of relocation or anything like that, or they, if they had won
a cup. But new buildings come with threats.
Sure, they do. They usually do. But look, what would it really have been? I think they would have had a little bit more of the conversation, a little bit more of the casual fan marketplace. But Ray is right. The Warriors blot out the sun. And that is a story that nobody even comes close to. So there you go. There's our what if on the Sharks. It would have been great. The parade in San Jose would have been fun. But unfortunately, that hasn't happened, nor will it
happen.
Well,
they played a better team.
They did. They did. The Penguins were really good.
I was waiting for that drop.
Very nice. Very, 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 very dramatic. Well done.
Back to the dramatic voice. What if the Raiders draft Kyler Murray?
Big butterfly effect. Big butterfly effect of established careers and the future of the team rolling into Vegas. What would immediately happen to Derek Carr is my immediate question. Is he supposed to groom the guy, or are you trading him? Because how can you have, you know, a guy that you're paying $20 million a year to be looking in his rearview mirror the entire season, and you know that the minute Derek Carr shows that he couldn't get the ball to Antonio Brown, if Kyler Murray was there, everyone would jump off the Carr bandwagon real fast, and it would be about Kyler. So it would be gargantuan if the Raiders did that. And if the Raiders were to do that, would they have to trade up to do that? Would they trade up with the Niners? How would the rest of the top of the draft look? It would be an extraordinary development if it happened.
They have to view this as though Kyler Murray is not central to their needs, because he's not. They have so many places that they need all the draft choices they can get. And unless you're going to draft him to move him immediately, you don't get the help you need. I mean, because there's no guarantee. I mean, there's no guarantee that Kyler Murray is going to change the Raiders. The Raiders are not a good team, and they're not a good team in a bunch of places. And all you do when you take a quarterback without addressing those other needs is you have a quarterback who's going to get the hell beat out of him. I mean, right now, Derek Carr is that designated get the hell beat out of you guy. The Raiders have to make themselves a more complete football team, not a shinier football team.
I would agree. I would absolutely agree. They should be drafting for need, not wants, and they want Kyler Murray than they might need him.
I mean, I don't think they want Kyler Murray necessarily. I think they want what Kyler Murray can get them, which is other players. The real question here is whether they know how to draft.
We'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, John Gruden's history has not been good on that.
Mike Mayock, he has no history on that, so we'll see it all come together Thursday next week. By the way, I heard we're going to be at the Virgin Hotel on 4th Street doing our draft show from over there. Should be a great day. Elena, are you ready to get dramatic again?
Yes. What if the Clippers stun the Warriors and knock them out in the first round?
Oh, my God. I mean, that's a what if I almost don't even want to ponder, because I couldn't imagine that happening without look, this team's going to look a lot different next year anyways. It's got a feeling it might look radically different if something like that were to happen. People would go nuts. I mean, Pete, it would be the angriest uproar of fan anger the Bay Area has seen maybe in a decade. I don't know when the last time the Bay Area would have been collectively that angry, and rightfully so. It would be one of the biggest gag jobs in the history of the NBA playoffs, and it would make what Tampa just went through in the Stanley Cup playoffs a lot more palatable in Tampa, because, you know, like, no one really cares. It would be gargantuan. The world would celebrate, by the way. I mean, the amount of brutal trolling that this franchise and every fan that roots for them publicly would get would be enough to disconnect the internet to your own home.
Well, I mean, anytime a 1 loses to an 8, they deserve it. They deserve it, period. I mean, when the Warriors beat Dallas, when Dallas tried to manipulate the standings late in the year so they could play Golden State.
Yeah.
I mean, the Mavericks took a beating on that, and for a couple of years. I mean, just because you know, when you're the 1, you don't have an excuse, especially not in the NBA. In the NHL, an 8 can beat a 1 every now and then. That's not that unusual. In the NBA, it's happened 3 times, I think. And that's a statement about how when you have 5 players, talent wins out way more often than when you have 6 players playing a game in which 5 points wins.
It would be a dynasty-halting, soul-crushing defeat that echoed for decades and would change the feeling of the entire franchise. They would go from the perennial ultimate winners to the biggest group of losers the NBA could possibly assemble to open up a new arena next year. That's how they would be billed. People would be
angry. Well, and you know what? That's why you don't spend a lot of time when you're a one with an eight. You want to get rid of that as quickly as possible. And they may still do it.
There you go. Is that it? Is that all our what-ifs today? Those are three good what-if questions. I like that an awful lot. We've got the 49ers schedule. How did we get the 49ers schedule 45 minutes before we released it? Are we that good at our job? Or is Matt Maiocco that good at his job? Who leaked that bad boy? Albie, who got that?
It's actually Cam Inman.
Oh, Cam!
He's on at 6:15 tonight.
Cam Inman, 6:15.
Well, what's the schedule? I don't think people need to wait till 6:15.
No, they don't need to wait till 6:15. But we should definitely use this opportunity to create a tease, what they call in radio. We're going to do that right now. We're going to come back with the 49ers schedule right after this. We're going to get into it. We already gave you three reasons to actually care about how the schedule comes out today. How many games on the East Coast? How many great quarterbacks are you facing? How often do you have the coaching advantage? We're going to look at all of that when we come on back here on 95.7 The Game. We want to remind you that Adam Kaplan is going to join us at 4:30. Cam Inman, who's leaked information we're about to share with you, he comes up at 6:15. Warriors head coach Steve Kerr live at 5:30. We're really looking forward to that. And we're going to be playing the name game at 6 o'clock tonight on 95.7 The Game. So make sure you stick around for all of that. Don't you move and don't touch the dial. 49ers schedule. And we come back here on 95.7 The Game right now, though. Elena, good afternoon. Are you going to do this update with the dramatic voice or the normal voice?
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
NFL schedules will officially be out at 5 o'clock. I'm guessing we'll get the Raiders schedule around 5 o'clock. According to Cam Inman, we've got the 49ers schedule right now. It's time for us to hop through it. Us is me and Ray Ratto, who is in today. If you're on hold right now, stay there. We're going to get to you in just a second. We said that the 49ers, or really any schedule, matters for a fan base today because you get to count how many East Coast games you got. 10 a.m. body clock games, how many great quarterbacks are you playing against, and how many coaching advantages do you have? So here's the 49ers schedule. First 2 weeks are on the road, at the Bucs and at the Bengals. They come home for the opener at Levi's against the Steelers in week three. Week four is a bye. Week five, Monday Night Football, they're hosting the Cleveland Browns. Week six, they're at the Los Angeles Rams. The first division game of the year will be coming off of a short week because they got Monday Night Football the week before. At Washington, the Panthers, at Levi's, at Arizona versus the Seahawks versus Arizona versus the Packers, at the Ravens, at the Saints versus the Falcons versus the Rams. You wrap up the year week 17 at Seattle. Got primetime games against the Browns and the Cardinals and the Seahawks. That's a Monday Night Football. So they're on Monday Night Football twice. They're on Thursday Night Football once. I don't think they are on Sunday Night Football, at least not that I can see here. None can be flexed because they lost two last year. I really don't care. So what we have here, because we don't really have times, but if you're telling me you're playing in Tampa Bay, I assume you're part of that 10 a.m. our time kickoff. So I count, Ray.
Actually,
I think,
2 a.m. for that game.
Right? I count 4 or 5 10 a.m.s here. We're not sure yet. 6.5 great quarterbacks are on your schedule. I'll get to that in just a minute. You got 9 examples where I think it's easy to say Kyle Shanahan is the better coach on the field. I know you hate the schedule release, but here it is. We're looking at it for the first time. What stands out?
I hate the hullabaloo around it. At some point, you have to tell people what your games are. I don't buy the coaching thing at all because everybody raves about Kyle Shanahan and he's won 10 games in 2 years. I think this is about talent, and it's always about talent. And the best coaches are the ones who either have talent, have assembled it, or have figured out the system by which they thrive best. Kyle Shanahan has not done all three of those things yet. When he does, then I'll start listening to coaches.
I would just say that there is more similar talent across the board in the NFL. And I think coaching matters more in this sport than in any other sport you can tell me about.
But if you don't have talent, it doesn't matter what kind of coach you are. Good coaches get fired all the time because they're on bad teams.
They do. You're right about that. But Kyle Shanahan, I'm willing to project, should he have a healthy team, is going to end up... How about this? If Kyle Shanahan were fired at 4:20 this afternoon, he'd be someone else's head coach at 4:25 this afternoon.
Well, that's my point. My point is that if you have a bad team, you can be the best coach in the world, and you're still going to end up 5-11 or 3-13. The point is, when you have players, you get to show people how good a coach you are.
Okay. Well, we don't
that's
have players today.
Saying.
We got a schedule.
Yeah.
What jumps out to it? What if anything, jumps out?
I think this week four bye is very troublesome.
Well, actually, no. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I don't want to bye that early in the season. I want my guys to burn the wick till at least like week 8 or 9 before they get that week off, and they really need it.
Yeah, to me, the interesting thing, if there is one, is the notion that ESPN is willing to go all in on the Browns. I wouldn't put them on Monday Night Football yet for any reason. I mean, they're still a team that hasn't done it for me. And I think they're still a regional team. They were a great team to bet last year, but I don't know that ESPN is marketing that way yet.
They're fun, they're talented, they're new, people been waiting for it. And I think
they're going to let people down.
I wouldn't disagree with that, but outside of the games that I got to watch, 49ers, Raiders, the fact that I grew up a Bears fan means I'm always watching the Bears. I'm watching division games for the teams that I cover, of course. I am more interested in watching the Browns I normally wouldn't be that interested watching their games. They're one of the most interesting teams in football. They have a very interesting collection of new pieces that I'm, you know, whether it comes together, there's a story. If it doesn't come together, there's another story.
I'd be interested to see them later in the year.
And I know you said coaches don't matter.
No, I didn't say coaches don't matter. I said coaches without talent don't matter.
Right. But Freddie Kitchens, you know, we'll see what he's got against Kyle Shanahan.
Well, he also has no talent, so.
Well, he's got no reputation, really, is not yet anyway.
Well, okay, but, you know, again, show me talented teams, and I could tell you whether their coach is good or not.
I can't show you talented teams, and I can't guarantee you that these talented quarterbacks will be playing because injuries do happen. But I've got the 49ers got a little bit of a gauntlet in their last six games of the year. There really isn't much of an easy stretch unless you want to say, hey, 2 weeks on the road to begin the year seem to be easy opponents against Bucks and Bengals. That feels like 2-0. That could easily be 0-2. I don't know. Last six games of the year. Host the Packers, at the Ravens, at the Saints, host the Falcons, host the Rams, at Seattle. That's brutal. That's a rough way to wrap up six games. It's almost as rough as the beginning of the season was for the 49ers first time around. And as far as the great quarterbacks that they're playing, well, they're playing no fewer than three future Hall of Fame quarterbacks. They're absolutely playing in Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson, and Drew Brees. Those are three guys who go to the Hall of Fame. They're playing
Aaron Rodgers.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Make him a Hall of Famer too. You can add him to the list pretty comfortably. When it comes to QB alerts, you got a QB alert against the Steelers. Obviously, you got a QB alert if Cam Newton's feeling it. A QB alert to deal with when the Panthers come to town. The guy's a former MVP. Against Seattle, you got two QB alerts. Obviously, you're playing Russell Wilson twice. Like Ray just said, Aaron Rodgers, he's not bad. Drew Brees, not bad. I'm almost putting a QB alert on Matt Ryan, too. I don't know what season he's having, but he'll be deep in it by week 15, and the 49ers meet him. And if he's cooking, there's a guy who's won an MVP. If he's not cooking, it feels like a winnable game. Interesting. So we got the Niners schedule. It's unofficial, but Cam Inman, he tweeted it, so we went with it, and we will talk to him.
Because we really don't care either way.
We'll talk to him at 6:15.
I'm going to find out who leaked this to. Because he clearly has violated protocol.
You're going to pretend to care.
Oh, I am going to pretend to care.
If nothing else, your goal on today's show to be, you know, get Cam Inman in an awful lot of trouble, right?
I have no problem with that, either conceptually or in execution.
888-957-9570. By the way, this doesn't feel like a big piece of news, but it is sports news. I'm passing it on only because it is a statistical anomaly, if there ever was one. Joey Votto. Didn't think you were going to get any Joey Votto updates today, but I'm going to give you a Joey Votto update. Joey Votto just popped out to first base for the very first time in his entire career. How many seasons has Joey Votto been playing? Give me the seasons on Votto.
74.
It feels at least 72, maybe. But Votto's a 10-year career major leaguer at this point. Easy, right? I mean, the guy's been in the league for a decade.
12-year career.
12-year career, 6,828 plate appearances, one pop out to first.
He's done. He's done.
Bat speed's eroded.
Oh, no, he's a disaster.
He doesn't swivel the hips anymore.
He's a laundry hamper.
He can't get through the
wheel him out.
Can't get through the strike zone fast enough. Get rid of him. What a bum. That's amazing, though. That really is
pretty remarkable.
That is amazing. 888-957-9570. I said we'd come back and take your calls. We just went over the NFL schedule again. Adam Kaplan in about 5 minutes from right now. Whenever I see her on the line.
Maybe he's got the Raiders schedule.
Maybe he does. Whenever I see her on the line, I do like going to her. It's Robin in San Francisco. Robin?
Hey, D. Bruce. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm going to wait for you. I'm okay. Mr. Rado, I was going to say to you that I enjoyed your piece on the Warriors got what they deserved, okay?
They certainly did.
I don't want to talk about KD because it annoys me. It makes my head spin. What I want to talk about is and I brought this up the other day on Bonte and Greg Papa. They opened up the lines. And I want to hear what you guys have to say about how to stop that pick and roll between Lou Williams and Montrez. And so my thinking is, and I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it, that the Warriors need to force him going left, trapping him quickly. And once he gives up the ball, do not allow him to retrieve the ball. Take the ball out of his hands because he's just pounding the ball until he's ready to make plays or shoot the rock. So I just want to hear your thoughts on that, on how to stop that pick and roll. And that's all I got, you guys. Thanks
thank you, Robin. Thank you. I mean, what more do you need than two guys who aren't playing basketball to give you the X's and O's of how to slow down an NBA pick and roll that just cooked the Warriors in the third quarter?
Or we could ask that unqualified dope at 5:30.
We probably will. Steve Kerr, 5:30, unqualified dope status confirmed. That's how rough that loss was. I'm guarding Lou Williams straight up. Enough of this shading. Enough shading him. Like, get in front of him. Stop the man's progress right there. Don't push him right or left. Get in front of him. Halt him right there if you get. By the way, that is a lot easier to say than do. I can see that right off the rip.
Well, and they're going to run him around picks the whole time. I mean, that's part of what they do. I mean, what they have to do is play the pick better.
Go over it, under it, go through it.
Oh, Montrezl. I don't think you ever want to go under it.
Yeah, you don't.
Because you go under it, basically they get to dictate to you the rest of the possession. But, no, they have to be better on that, and that's been one of the problems that they've had is that Cousins was not great on that high pick and roll. Bogut was better when five years ago. I don't know how he is now. Looney's okay on it, but
yeah.
They're going to run that pick and roll. They're just going to do it, and you have to hope that Williams is not lighting it up the way he did the other night because he, like every other shooter ever, is subject to the whims of fate.
Saucy. Ooh, Saucy. Giving us a call from Oakland. How are you, Saucy?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Very well. What you got?
So I just want to preface this by saying that these Warriors teams of the Steve Kerr era have quite possibly been the greatest assemblage of talent to ever step on a court. They are a dynasty. They are the favorites to take home the Larry O'Brien in June, but they also now own the records for two of the historic unravelings in postseason history.
Yes, they do.
I would still bet on – what's that?
Yes, they do. I mean, blowing a 3-1 lead's embarrassing. Blowing a 31-point lead's embarrassing. Historically, they got a couple of big demerits.
Yeah, and yes, I would still bet on them to win it again this year. But I can't help but recognize, in my mind, a deep seed of doubt has now been sown into the equation. I can't deny that. And an analogy that came to me, it'd be like if you have a loving, lifelong spouse, and they've been the perfect spouse in every way, thoughtful, great father, mother to your children. They do everything together. They share the same interests, the provider. But then at some point in your marriage, they cheat on you. But you love them so much that you work through it. They go to therapy, or you renew your vows, they do all the right things. And from all outward appearances, it would seem like
Do you need Warriors marriage counseling? I mean, look, I'm sorry, man. I love the armchair quarterback approach to your phone call, but this is not like having your spouse cheat on you. This is about playing better defense and protecting the ball. That's what this is about. And if they do that in game three, the seed of doubt will hopefully be removed because they get right back on track. We're about to get back on track. Adam Kaplan, NFL insider, 95.7 The Game contributor. Always a pleasure to talk a little football with you, Adam. And we got just leaks everywhere in terms of schedules popping out right now. We just had what we think is the entire 49ers schedule leaked to us. What do you make of this day? We put an awful lot into it, don't we?
Well, it's comical because we know the schedule. We just don't know what days they're going to play. I kind of laugh every year, but it's all, you know, what's interesting is to see which teams get the most national TV games, because what that tells you is when a team gets, let's say, four or five national games, you kind of know what the league thinks of that team in April. Now, sometimes they make a mistake. Like the sexy team this year, you're going to see, as I understand it, the Browns are going to be on national TV quite a bit. That's the team now. It's going to become like a national team that people have been waiting for. Obviously, they've got the dynamic quarterback. They were a fun team last season. They were almost 500. They were 7-8-1.
Yeah.
That's a team, quite frankly, I mean, some people think could actually win the AFC North.
Well, I mean, think about it. Last year, the 49ers were going to be the team that was shoved down the nation's throat, and they got two games flexed out. So, you know, things do change along the way. I look at the 49ers schedule. I see, I think, what could be about 4 or 5 10 a.m. starts on their body clocks. I'm always worried about that. I'm always worried about, you know, do you have the better coach that Sunday? Do you have the better quarterback that Sunday? There will be a lot of Sundays where even if the 49ers have the better coaching matchup, I don't know if they're going to have the better quarterback, not on paper, not based on what they've done so far.
Right, and I think when you look at Garoppolo coming back from his ACL reconstruction, covering this injury and over the years with quarterbacks, they're never the same the first year, whether it's Carson Palmer coming back from his first ACL. Carson Wentz was good but not great last season for the Eagles, but studying that injury and that position, it's the second year coming back from it when the guy will get back to normal. And typically, Damon, late in the first season back, especially in this case where it's not like he got hurt in November, December. He got hurt very early. So the hope is by, let's say, midseason, he's back to his normal self.
The schedule in and of itself, when you're looking at it, do you ever sort of pinpoint, okay, three games on the road? I mean, everybody gets one of those every 2-3 years or so. Is that as onerous a thing to a team's season as it would seem from the outside, or is it just not that big a deal?
It can be a big deal if there's significant travel involved, where you have to fly out east, in terms of, we're talking about the Niners here, and then Midwest, and then back home. It's difficult to do that. I'll give you an example. So they don't do this anymore because I talked to the league about it. Actually, I talked to Howard Katz, who actually puts together the schedule. Many, many years ago, the Cardinals under Kurt Warner flew on a short week to Philly. They played Thursday night. They got absolutely blown out. And they had 3 days to get prepared and then leave Wednesday. And they just were gassed from the previous game. So those kind of things on a short week, the league studies this stuff. I mean, I had a long talk with Katz a couple years ago, and every team will throw in their kind of complaints or things that they want to be treated well with. And it's typically the West, East, East, West. Those are the tough things. The three games away in a row or three out of four, that could become difficult. And the other ones, when you lose an emotional game and then you have to travel on the road from coast to coast, that's also very, very difficult.
Adam Kaplan, NFL insider here on 95.7 The Game. So we've got a draft. We're a week and a day away. And obviously, the 49ers are going to have options no matter what happens at one, whether it's Kyler or not. Maybe Kyler becomes their option to move back on. And even if he doesn't, even if Murray is the number one overall, yes, Bosa at two, Quinn and Williams at two. It's easy to talk yourself into either player. With only five draft picks, Adam, I think it's easier to talk me into trading back than anything else in such a deep draft.
I would not. I hear you. In fact, I had a general manager I know very well tell me it's the deepest draft for defensive linemen in the last 10 years by far. You could actually find a starter in the third round, but here's the problem with that. You're not going to find high-end players like Nick Bosa. If he's there at number two, you have to take him. You simply have to take it. Just like his brother, his older brother, he's got positional versatility. In nickel, you could slide him inside. You could drop him at strong side linebacker. There's certain things you could do with him. But the Niners, if they do not come out of this draft with a high-end pass rusher, I will really struggle to figure out what they're doing. Look, so far, the one area where they've not hit home runs is on defense. They inherited Buckner. They inherited Armstead. Solomon Thomas has not worked out so far. I like to trade for D. Ford. He's in a new scheme, which clearly should help him. But they've got to get it together on defense. The offense will not be a problem. I have no issues on offense with Kyle Shanahan calling the plays, folks. For them to be a playoff team or be a wild card team this season, the defense must make a major jump.
If the Raiders were going to move from where they are now, how much more sense does it make for them to trade down and get more picks, given where they are, than to try to trade up and hit a home run?
You know, that's a great question. As a matter of fact, that would be the team that, now they've got four in the first 35, and I'm talking to the Raiders, as I did before the Brown trade. They were adamant they were not going to, if the Steelers wanted the first or second round picks, it was off, no matter what they offered. They were not going to do it, so I'm going to hold them to the word. They have perhaps the NFL's worst roster. And to do that, to flip this thing, you got to have more picks. See, it comes down to this. What do they think of Quinn and Williams? If he's there, they have to make a decision. Do they think he's better than anyone else they could trade down for? Or do they think the disparity is so big, do they have to stay there and say, you know what? Josh Allen would be nice. We need a defensive end, but this kid is a game changer. Now, I would also tell you for the Raiders, it's the only position on defense that are fairly deep at D-tackle, but they also don't have anyone like Quinn Williams. Bill Polian told me for many years when we worked together at ESPN, and he tells us this on Sirius, you absolutely positively must take an upgrade if he's there. I don't care what position it is. Quinn Williams is better than anything they have at D-tackle.
Given that, Let's say hypothetically they take Quinn and Williams. Do you ever worry when you take a guy like that he would be always sort of compared to the idealized version of Khalil Mack that they had a year ago and shipped off? Or do you just say, talent will out, I don't care about the past?
Khalil Mack, let's face it, is probably going to be a Hall of Fame player if he continues on the track that he's going on. So Williams just by position is clearly the best at what he does, but Mac, talent-wise, is way better. I mean, that's the bottom line, but the way the Raiders are looking at it, the total draft bounty that they've gotten now overall will help them in the long run because they're going to have better – it's not just one really good player. They think they could get a bunch of them with these picks. That's the way they're looking at it. I would not have done the trade, but John Gruden, who made the call, doesn't look at it that way. He wanted him off the team. He didn't think he'd sign, by the way. He never thought they would get a deal done. And John, if you've covered him, and I know you guys have, he has zero patience for this kind of stuff, unfortunately. There's really no one that could tell him differently, and that's – if John doesn't make it long-term, it's going to be because of lack of patience, not because he's not a good coach.
Well, and isn't that really what Mike Mayock's job is to do, is to keep John Gruden from falling into his John Gruden instincts? That's what Mayock
Damon,
got the job to do.
I have a bet with a very good friend of mine in the league office. He gave me – I have to find the email. I think he gave me like 5-1 odds that he would make – that Mayock would make at least 3 years. I said, dude, it's real simple. If he makes it past a year, I'd be surprised. But they haven't. Here's why. I've known Mike for a long time. I have a ton of respect for him. Here's what it's going to come down to. If John gets out of control with drafting players that Mike doesn't think are going to work, then that's going to be a problem. I mean, you don't have to agree on everything. It's the good thing about Mike is he'll argue and he'll challenge John. But if he gives up on Derek Carr, if he gives up on good younger players, because with Tampa, John wanted veterans. He laughs about this, but he knows it's true. If he doesn't develop this roster of young players, and they're going to go very young this season, then he shouldn't last more than I just can't see Mike putting up with that. But I hope I'm wrong. I hope Mike's there for 4 or 5 years at least. And by the way, you know, the whole deal for them, talking to the Raiders, is about Vegas, and they're going to put a ton of resources in next year. So good luck to them. But this season's going to be tough. They're not going to be very good, but they're going to be fun to watch.
What do you think of that Russell Wilson contract? Worth every penny or a little bit of an
overpay?
Yeah,
I mean,
to
look,
keep him?
He's better. You know, people talk about he and Andrew Luck. He's a better football player than Andrew Luck just based on what he's done, a Super Bowl winner. He's been incredible, 5'10 and a half, everything he's done. I think it's a fair contract. The Seahawks got what they wanted. They wanted to keep the same structure as they do every contract. The average per season is a little bit higher, and I pegged it at 33.5 to 34. He beat that. But you know what? When you have a franchise-type quarterback, you just build around him, and that's what they're going to do. And talking to the Seahawks, they are really excited about their young roster. They're all about drafting and developing. That's what the Raiders need to do here.
Adam, awesome stuff as always, man. Thanks for letting us tap into your knowledge. Appreciate it.
Guys, thank you.
Adam Kaplan here on 95.7 The Game. We've got Steve. Yes.
I was going to say opening line for Bucks 49ers is out.
Give it to me.
Bucks are giving 2.5 and the total's 49.
Bet the house, take the under. Defense first football game, right? It's coming early. Takes a while to get this scheme kicking, you know?
You think the Buccaneers play defense, do you?
Well, you think the 49ers do?
Well, then why would you take the under?
Quan Alexander revenge game. That's why. Wait until he has 10 sacks after one afternoon of football. Look out, world.
You're a frightening, frightening man.
888-957-9570. Don't get scared. You shouldn't be. It is a Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922, and by Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. We are right around the corner from a little 5 before 5, and we're not too far away from Steve Kerr, who joins us at 5:30, courtesy of Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Some things you need to know. Some things you want to know. It's 5 before 5 on 95.7 The Game.
We are about 45 minutes away from saying hello to Steve Kerr. We thought we were going to talk to him on Friday. The Warriors gave us a call about an hour before the show started and said, "You want Coach today?" We said, "Hell yeah, let's take Coach today." So Steve Kerr comes up at 5:30. We got a name game coming up at 6 o'clock. Got a great prize, too, a copy of MLB's The Show 19. All that is on the way, but right now it's a little 5 before 5. And Elena, are you going to use the dramatic voice or normal voice? Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you give us the normal voice for 4 and then surprise us with a random dramatic reading in one of these 5 categories?
We'll see if I remember.
Okay.
Brought to you by the California Academy of Sciences. Go see the Dino Days now through May 5th.
Yay, number Dino 1. Days.
Yay. Okay, Time Magazine, they came out with their top 100 most influential people of all time. From the sports world, some notable names are LeBron James and Tiger Woods. So, Ray, Damon, let's say who are top 3 of your influential athletes at the moment?
Well, how are we defining influential? To the sport, to the world that they live in, to the neighborhood that they exist in? I mean, like, how are we really measuring influence? I need to know. Like, it's when we're talking about MVP. How do you define value? How do you define influence? When it just comes to, like, the culture here in the United States, say what you want. LeBron James is number 1. There's no doubt about it, and he's on their list. Tiger Woods, probably, he's also on the list, is about to be that influential once again. It depends on how you're defining influential, I guess.
Well, if you're talking about moving product, which I think most of the time is what influential means.
Right.
Stephen Curry moves product.
Yes, he does.
But I don't know that he's a game changer socially, except in subtle ways.
Is Bryce Harper the most influential baseball player?
Absolutely not.
Well, he just moved more product jersey-wise than anyone.
Well, that's why you've hit on it. It's influential is a nebulous word.
Yeah.
I mean, I would suggest that Mike Trout is more influential you know, as a baseball player than basically anybody else.
But he's unrecognizable. So how influential could he be?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He's the guy whom, in terms of influence, since no baseball player is really that socially active one way or another, I think you basically go by talent. At that point, everybody agrees that Trout is the best player. In terms of football, Tom Brady.
Sure. Or you can maybe even say Patrick Mahomes is quick. Kind of right
behind
him.
He hasn't been around long enough, and he hasn't nearly influenced.
Right. But the huge splash, though.
Okay, but at some point you got to surface, and then now you got to swim. So I wouldn't put Mahomes even on remotely on that list. He hasn't been around enough. Hockey, it's still Sidney Crosby. But basketball, yeah, it's LeBron, and it's LeBron by a significant margin.
Patrick Mahomes did sell some ketchup last year because he likes to put ketchup on everything.
And you know what?
Well, really, when you're talking social import,
I know.
Say it with condiments.
Well, he is absolutely about to really show you what kind of an influencer he is. He didn't take any deals last year except the little ketchup thing.
Mm-hmm.
But next year, like, he's going to be in every single commercial break you watch during a football game.
Yes.
Number two.
Cam Inman, your guest at 6:15 today, was down at 49ers practice, and he tweeted out, I saw it on my timeline, that George Kittle played through a fractured rib cartilage the last 2 months of the season, and he wore rib protectors, and, well, all that, he set the NFL record for yards by tight end. What's the ceiling for a healthy George Kittle this season with his healthy franchise quarterback?
Yeah, Pro Bowl, best at his position, regarded league-wide as the premier receiving tight end in football. That's sort of been vacated by the retirement of Rob Gronkowski. There's a guy in Kansas City, obviously, and Travis Kelce, who's still holding on to the title pretty firmly. But maybe this is the year where Kittle shakes it from him. You assume a year of health with an upgrade at quarterback? Yeah, I mean, sky's the limit for a guy who is one of the best interviews we did last year. So I'm going to be rooting for George Kittle, and we get to talk to him plenty about it.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out a way to add to the conversation. I didn't have one.
Well, when you just want to say, Damon, your answer was so perfect, I endorse it, and my name's Ray, you can just do that, and we'll move on to the next question.
It's been done, and now we can move. I got nothing for you on this.
Be like, Damon, you're so good at answering questions.
You're a genius.
Wow.
You're a genius.
Thank you.
I was just also thinking that tight ends seem to have a lot of personality. We had Gronk, we have George Kittle, and Travis Kelce, also
yeah,
huge
totally.
Personality.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that about the position.
Yeah.
Number three.
You're God.
Remember the 76ers former GM Brian Colangelo's burner Twitter scandal last year? Where he had a burner account, kind of like our friend Kevin Durant.
Oh, totally, yes.
And he was tweeting about in-house stuff and about his players, that they needed to play better.
He's ripping Embiid anonymously.
Yes, and so he had to step down. Well, today Mark Sinans reported that the Sixers tried to stage a coup of Bob Myers at that time, but were unsuccessful. Obviously, we know Bob Myers is still with the Golden State Warriors.
And they hired Elton Brand.
They did, and they made a lot of big splashes this season. But with the concerns that KD might be leaving this summer, how important is it to have Bob Myers on the Warriors side as they try to put together another championship roster?
It's incredibly important. I think Bob Myers is as admirable a front office person, and you could say that I've fallen for the sizzle and there needs to be more steak. I would say this man has won an awful lot in this league so far, and he is state-of-the-art. He's state-of-the-art in terms of decisions made, the way that he communicates with his team, his superiors, the people working underneath him, the media. Like, I can't find the box that Bob Myers doesn't check twice with a huge red marker. So,
oh, I can.
So what would that be?
Well, I mean, he has not regenerated what used to be one of their great strengths, which was their bench. That's one.
I understand the flyers he's taken in all directions.
I'm not saying he's made stupid moves, but the bench is clearly weaker than it was 4 years ago. And that lands on the general manager.
It does.
Okay. But the other thing, and it's the thing that he can't be tested on yet, is how does he recreate this team in 3 years when these guys start to age out? And that will be when you find out if he's one of the great general managers of all time or just a guy who basically hit on 17 three times in a row and pulled fours.
Right. No, that's dead on. It really is. Like, to me...
And George Kittle.
Theo Epstein, thank you. But to me, Theo Epstein, like, Hall of Fame. Right now, doesn't need to win another game. You brought a title to Boston, then you brought a title to Chicago. You've officially done it twice. If Bob Myers ever gets to do this twice, oh my God. Yeah, he goes to the Hall of Fame.
Number four.
Martin Jones. Last night, after the game, he wasn't available for the media because the Sharks, quote, could not find him. Jones gave up 5 goals in last night's shutout. Jones has been pulled from the net in 2 of his last 3 games and has allowed 13 goals in this series against the Golden Knights. Sharks are sticking with Jones for Game 5 on the brink of another first-round elimination. What is San Jose to do about their goalkeeper?
So you're telling me the only thing last night that you couldn't get past Martin Jones was a question?
Yes.
Oh, God. Look, you're stuck. What are you going to do? Not only are you stuck this year, but you're stuck going forward, and you hope that, I don't know, goaltending's a little bit like pitching. It comes and it goes. One year, you're nothing. The next year, you're Sandy Koufax, and you do that for 5 years, and then you become a guy again after your run. Ray, how many more years has he got? When Ray told me the Martin Jones contract today, I said, what?
5 more years, $28.5 million.
For the guy who gave up 5 last night. Count them all. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. A Finsky.
And yet, he is also the guy who was as instrumental as anybody as getting to the Stanley Cup final 3 years ago. This is the nature of goaltending. Sergei Bobrovsky, who just basically put the hammer down on the Tampa Bay Lightning, wanted to get out of Columbus so much earlier in the year that he was playing as poorly as a human being can play. And then all of a sudden, it just clicks. Goaltenders come quickly. They fade fast. They come back again. Marc-Andre Fleury was made available in the expansion draft. So I don't know that you want to make long-term assumptions about Martin Jones. The one thing you could say about him, though, is he's not going to win you a game you don't deserve to win. I mean, he's not the kind of guy who will face 55 shots and steal one for you. But he has been routinely awful, not just in this series, but down the stretch.
And by the way, in interest of always getting it right, and the text line's all over this, he gave up 3 last night. 2 were empty netters, and I do apologize deeply.
My mistake. I was at the A's game watching half and half.
By the way, yeah, you didn't have a good night either at the A's game.
No, and I got my car broken into all at the same time.
Gee, welcome to Oakland. Have a great time.
I know. Well, actually, I love you, Oakland, but I love to hate you. Are we ready for 5 here?
We are.
Okay.
Number 5.
In honor of National Haiku Day, 575.
Yes.
Albie and I have prepared a haiku for you guys.
Oh.
Using only drops. Would you like to hear?
I would love to hear your drop only haikus. Why don't we turn down the music so we can fully bask in the audio presentation that you have prepared for us?
I'm your food man.
I'm not going to be here.
So,
what do you think?
Well, the last line is 6 syllables.
Yeah. But it's not, I'm not going to. If you use it in the way he's saying it, I'm not going to be here. That would be 5.
I think we're pushing it, but I like it.
I think this is more proof that Albie can't count.
Oh, come on. I think he was the one who said the same thing, but I
think
was
he was looking
was.
For a way to get that in.
You loved it, Ray. You love my haikus.
You guys, did you ever woo a lady in the past with the written word or a poem?
It's the only way I can imagine Ray ever got laid. I seriously.
Ray.
The closest I ever came is I gave somebody I didn't like my tax bill.
But seriously, you are a wordsmith. You know how to work the pen. Never went into poetry, love letters, anything like that? Nothing?
No. People have to pay for my work.
There you go.
Which is why I'm basically living in a dumpster now.
Hey, I read you on Deadspin yesterday morning.
I'm a whore. There's no question about that.
Well, and that's why you're here,
baby. By the way, some books have Tampa as a 1.5-point favorite.
Oh.
So, there's a lot of variance here in the early betting, and you've only got 5 months to go.
I need NFL schedules. The NFL says we're about to get them. I've got countdown clocks reaching almost zero everywhere around me.
I still haven't seen a Raiders schedule. They kept this one quiet.
Yeah, I haven't either. I am looking everywhere for the schedule. I'm refreshing Twitter. No one was able to leak it yet. Do we have any real details about anything? We shall hopefully have all the details we need quickly, since it is, after all.
They play at Minnesota in week three, and that's only because I saw the Vikings schedule.
There you go. So Vikings week three. See ya. Let's do 5 o'clock.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.